Well, good evening and welcome to another episode of the Bible Believers podcast with me, your host, David Mackereth. Got a real humdinger of a case tonight, one which I think is going to be quite necessary considering the amount of material that's being poured out by Christian outlets on the internet and on YouTube, especially about this at the present time. But I'll come to that in a minute. I'll come to an explanation for the title shortly. But first of all, let's read God's word. And we're going to read, first of all, Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Let us hear the word of God. Oops, would have helped if I turned to it before. And comes after Hosea. Chapter 2. Jonah, of course, is thrown into the sea and he's been swallowed by a whale. No, not necessarily a whale, but maybe a fish. It talks about a fish, doesn't it? And verse 17 of Jonah chapter 1. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I don't know from the Hebrew whether you can say that's definitely a whale or a fish, but it says a fish in the King James Version. Let's read on from Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God. Let's see the word of God there. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hadst cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into the holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Amen. We're thinking of Jonah as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 to 41. Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 to 41. And if we look at Matthew chapter 12, I'm going to read as follows. From verse 38, then certain of the Pharisees, scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. That's what we just read about. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Amen. Well, to save greetings for a second, I want to lead in prayer now. There are in addition for praying for God's help with our Bible study this evening, I want the British royal family, because it's just been announced that Kate, Princess of Wales, has been diagnosed with cancer. She doesn't look well. And it's right that we pray for King Charles and Kate to both have cancer at this time. And of course, pray for the salvation of the royal family as well. And also I want to pray for today's open air work, which took place in the town of Stourbridge, where there was some opposition, but nevertheless the gospel was preached and a number of people heard the gospel, and I'm very thankful to God for that. Father, we ask and pray that your blessing would be upon our Bible study. Give us wisdom, give us understanding, give us insight, Lord, and help us to be succorers, those who can teach, instruct, train, and help others who are confused on these important topics. Father, thank you that as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the fish, so the Lord Jesus Christ was 3 days in the grave and was raised on the third day by the power of God and is alive today and reigning on the throne of heaven. Thank you that he paid the penalty for our sins, and that if we have faith in him, our sins are forgiven through his precious blood. We ask for your help with our study now. We pray for the British royal family. We pray for King Charles and for Kate, Princess of Wales. that they would get better, make a full and excellent recovery from their cancer. We ask Heavenly Father as well that the British family would repent of their sins, each one of them, and find the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Father, I pray for the gospel that was preached in Stourbridge today, and pray that those who heard the gospel would come under conviction of sin, and that town would come under conviction of sin, and that your mercy might be found and revealed in repentance and turning and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ in that town. And so, Father, we ask that you forgive us for our sins and cleanse us in Jesus' blood, and be with us now, we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm also aware of several people who are ill who listen to this study, and may the Lord have mercy upon them, and some quite ill with cancer as well. But so let me just say, good evening, Micaiah, and again, thank you for your encouragement, and Amanda. Sonia, a very warm welcome to you. We're talking about the eclipse that's passing over the United States on April the 8th this evening. And Sonia, I was wondering if that's going to pass over where you are. I don't know. Because it seems to be heading in that direction, but or maybe out across the Atlantic, or even up to the North Pole or somewhere once it crosses Nova Scotia. Sally Richardson in England, welcome. Ian, welcome. And Kathy, it's great to see you. Kim, it's great to see you as well. And Margaret, all our very dear friends in Australia. Miriam, welcome. And Marcus, a very warm welcome to you, brother. Bernadette, across the water here in Ireland, the Lord bless you. Lan in Texas, the Lord bless you. And others. And Melody, welcome. Melody says, regarding the Princess of Wales, I read that the chemo is preventative. I guess that means the surgery would have removed the cancer, but that the chemo is just to make sure there are no cells lurking. That's what they've said, and I sincerely the case. The photograph I saw of her today, I didn't see the video, I saw the photograph. She does look quite poorly, but you can look quite poorly and make a full recovery, so we hope that she does. So Sonia says, concerning April the 8th, that day of the eclipse, that total eclipse of the sun, the children will have the day off school that day. So the reason I'm talking about this, as I say, it's a real humdinger. I mean, the first thing is this. I mean, there's this huge number of videos have suddenly appeared by Christian outlets on YouTube about April the 8th, and they're all predicting, not all of them, are predicting some kind of terrible doom and the fulfillment of Bible prophecy and dreadful things that are going to happen. And so I'm going to address some of the things that they claim are going to happen, and I'm going to try and show how this is just like wild panic. That's why I call it Don't Panic, Don't Panic. It's those of you who remember a sitcom in the United Kingdom in the 1970s called Dad's Army, remember a character called Corporal Jones, and whenever anything went wrong, he used to run around like crazy shouting, don't panic, don't panic. And it's just my way of saying that what's being said about the 8th of April is ridiculous, and I hope I can demonstrate, prove that to you this evening, or at least make people think about this. So, so we have all of these ideas put up on the internet, and I'm going to go through some of them that I've written down. No doubt there are many more. I've seen a number of videos, but there are so many videos, dozens and dozens and dozens. It's a bandwagon. Everybody's jumping on it to say that some prophecy or this dream or that Bible verse is going to be fulfilled. Of course, I'm jumping on the bandwagon as well and saying I don't think it is. And that we need to be a little bit calmer about all of these things. Karma, C-A-L-M-E-R, not K-A-R-M-A. So in 2017, there was an eclipse that passed across the southern United States, and it was an annular eclipse. And of course, it drew a line as it went across the states, not, you know, an imaginary line, not an actual line with a pencil or something like that. And this eclipse that's coming on April 8th is significant to America because it crosses the whole of the United States. It starts in the southern United States, crosses various states, and then across Nova Scotia. And some people are saying this is really, really significant, that we've had these two eclipses. And they're making absolutely fantastical claims about this. Well, yes, Ian, sounds a bit like the blood moon theology of a few years ago, 5 minutes of fame. And again, if you're a publicity-hungry YouTube channel, then you're going to jump on everything. And just remember last year we had the Asbury revival, which wasn't a revival. That's almost forgotten about now. If that had been a true revival of religion, we wouldn't have forgotten about that. So we need to note this first of all of these claims about this being an incredible sign. It's really important we start to debunk that. So the first thing is total eclipses. For example, have hit Nova Scotia before. Some of you will remember a pop song from the 1970s, "You're So Vain," sung by Carly Simon. She was apparently eventually confessed that she was singing about somebody called Warren Beatty. I don't know who Warren Beatty is, but apparently he was famous and important. But one of the lines in that song goes that he got in his private jet and he flew off to Nova Scotia to see the total eclipse of the sun. So in so much as that was historical, we can say for certain that there have been total eclipses of the sun in Nova Scotia before. But we're not aware of anybody going crazy and saying this was a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, or that this was going to bring in the end of the age and the second coming of Christ, as people are saying now. And the next thing is also this, about 20 years ago, I remember there was a total eclipse of the sun in the far northwest of Scotland with my family at the time. I remember it got very dark, but we weren't where the eclipse was, so it just got very dark for a bit and then bright again. And that was quite in itself quite interesting. But people were going loopy, freaking out on the beaches of Cornwall, saying how wonderful this was. And many of them were worshipping the sun. And that's idolatry. That's foolish. If people are going to worship the sun at this time, then that's not a good thing to do. So we have this natural event, not supernatural event, natural event, a total eclipse coming. As Thomas says, Warren Beatty was an American actor. Well, I hadn't heard of him until I heard the account of that particular song in a newspaper. But anyway, the thing is, that was some time back, but the thing is this, that we've got this chain of what I'm calling a chain of confusion. Okay, so this seems to be how it worked. First of all, people came along and they tracked the path of this total eclipse. And of course, people were looking to see if this was some kind of omen or some kind of fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And they noticed that it passed over a number of cities called Nineveh. They also noticed that at the same time, quite a few of them are saying it's under the constellation of Cetus, I think, which is the whale. That's why I was asking earlier whether it was a whale or a fish in that swallowed Jonah. It says fish in the King James Version, and a fish isn't a whale, but under the constellation of the whale. And essentially what seems to have happened is this, a lot of people have jumped on the bandwagon of biblical names which are in the path of this total eclipse. I'll come back to more details of that shortly, and they've drawn the conclusion that this must be a fulfillment of the Jesus words that no sign should be given but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And that's a huge leap of logic from a natural event. And then they've read back into it the scripture and they said, well, Jesus said that no sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah, and this must be it. And circular reasoning. And this just seems to be snowballing, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But actually, the argument is, one, tenuous, and too wrong. Jesus was talking about his death and resurrection. Not Jesus wasn't prophesying that in 2024, April the 8th, 2024, there would be a total eclipse of the sun in the United States. And the same kind of logic happened, for example, with some people will have heard of the Kola Peninsula recording, and I've heard it, and it's very scary. But this has recently been debunked as follows, that there was a snowballing there as well, that somebody told a story that a microphone had been dropped down a drilling hole in the Kola Peninsula in Russia, and they'd heard screams and cries like people were in hell being tortured. This sound must have gone viral. But on further investigation, it discovered that there was just a sort of hearsay account of this, that the recording sounds like a digitally adjusted recording of a horror movie from the 1970s. And that one Christian outlet after another simply believed the story and promoted it. And as they promoted it, it became more and more powerful and fixed in people's minds. Now, when I heard that tape, I was horrified by it, not because it was necessarily genuine, but because it sounded like exactly what the Bible describes. Hell is a real place. I don't myself think that if you drill into the earth's core, you will actually find a physical place called hell. I may be wrong about that, because nobody knows where hell is. So it was terrifying, but it was proven to be wrong, and yet so many Christians bought into that. It became the flavor of the month, and another 5 minutes of fame for somebody, I guess. Joe Bays, welcome, and S. Thomas, welcome. So let's go some of the things that have been said about this, but this is circular reasoning. We found references to Nineveh and in on the path of the comet, and therefore the path of the eclipse. Sorry, and therefore we then read back into scripture. This must be Jesus saying there is the sign of the prophet Jonah, and with that, there's always this. There always seems to be this. It has to be the United States of America. It's the only country in the world that God deals with. The rest of the countries of the world, for example, the Antichrist must come from the United States of America, or it would be a matter of national pride. It's an honor you don't want, I can assure you. But we need to be wiser than that. Just because it's happening in the United States doesn't make it special. About once every 18 months, there's a total eclipse of the sun, and it can happen, you might think, for the majority of signs of the times would be. So the first video is this. First video is Answers in Genesis, and this is the one I recommend. If you go to Answers in Genesis, who I love for their material and their broadcasts and their defense of the truth, Answers in Genesis, they have done a video on this eclipse. And it's the best video, and it's a good video, and I recommend it because they just simply deal with the facts, the scientific facts of an extraordinary event, which is going to be extremely beautiful, and recommend that people go and see it if they can, because it's a once-in-a-lifetime event. No suggestion that this is a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, or that it's a fulfillment of prophecies or dreams or any of these other crazy things that are being said. Just that. So Answers in Genesis are good, and I recommend them. But there's dozens and dozens, multitudes of other videos out there which are saying all kinds of puffed up things about this. So the second thing is this. Again, let's anchor ourselves in Scripture. Jesus is talking about his death and resurrection, the most important events in the whole of history, not an eclipse in the United States. And secondly, it's an entirely natural event. So the idea that this is extraordinary or unusual in and of itself, it doesn't hold water. The fact that it's in America doesn't make any difference. It's a natural event. It's not a supernatural event. So some people, quite a lot of people actually, have come up with it. Kim Anderson says, Ken Ham and Martin Lyle are wonderful godly men. I don't know Martin Lyle, but I Ken Ham, I'm just so impressed with the work of Answers in Genesis and another organization also, which is Genesis History. But the live broadcasts by Answers in Genesis are so full of information which is helpful in defending the truth. So some people have made an awful lot of the fact that if you trace the path of the comet from 2017, and then which goes sort of horizontally across a map of the United States, and then the path of this, not the comet, the I keep calling it the comet, if the path of the annular eclipse of 2017, and you take the path of the total eclipse in 2024, you get a great big X on the United States. And they get really excited about this, and they come up with ideas like, well, this X is a sign that it's the end of America. That's the first thing. Well, is it a sign that it's the end of America? First thing is this, again, just showing how this is false logic. First of all, one thing I learned very early in school is that if two lines cross each other, they don't make a square or a circle or a tick, they make an X. And you've got two lines which are naturally crossing each other. Natural events, nothing supernatural. So what do you expect? You expect a six. And but they say, well, this X, it means an end, a finish. Okay. Well, why does it mean that? Why can't it not mean that the sign of the cross over America, it means America's going to be saved? I mean, why are you giving an arbitrary designation to this X? And yet they say this could be the end of America. But we, a long time, we don't need an X on a map to tell us that America is, anybody who observes what's going on in America or in England, for example, that the end is upon us because of our sins. We need the Bible. We need the testimony of God's word. And some of us have been saying that. We don't need this total eclipse to tell us that America isn't at an end. The second thing, some are saying that this X is a call to the church. The church needs to stand up. Christians need to stand up, and they need to speak out for the truth. But we have a call in the Bible, and we have always had a call in the Bible to stand up and speak up for the truth. There's nothing new here. A total eclipse of the sun doesn't tell us to go out and preach the gospel more. We should be preaching it already. We only need the Bible, the word of God. This does tell us about that. And others are saying this is a call to the nation to repent. But we've been saying to the nations that they should repent for a long time, many of us. And we've been calling on them already. So this total eclipse doesn't suddenly mean, this X doesn't suddenly mean that the church should suddenly get up out of its armchair and preach the gospel. And again, you know, all of this because of an X, and I'm saying that it's interpreted as being the end of America, but why not interpret it as being the sign of the cross and the conversion of America? I mean, that's just as arbitrary. Now, remember when people marched the length and breadth of England, north to south and east to west or whatever, in the marches for Jesus, and it accomplished absolutely nothing. They said they'd made the sign of the cross on the country. In fact, the only thing it really accomplished was that probably some people who needed more exercise got some. But it meant nothing in terms of spiritual things. It made no difference to the nation. It has made no changes whatsoever. And neither will this X in America. It's ridiculous. These are two natural events where two lines intersect. They create an X. We shouldn't interpret this in any way whatsoever. Now, of course, they'll say that the X crosses over a town called Rapture. And I'll come back to that. The first thing is this, a sign of Jonah. They'll say that this total eclipse is going to pass through seven towns called Nineveh, and that makes it the sign of Jonah. Well, so what? Now, somebody says they fact-checked this, and the fact-checkers say it doesn't pass through seven towns, it only passes through two. And what I would say is this, I think that if this eclipse passes through two towns called Nineveh, that's very interesting, and it's interesting, it's coincidence. I mean, there's no coincidences with God. He ordains everything, but for us, it's a coincidence. And if it passes through seven towns called Nineveh, then it's a strange coincidence. Let's add the word strange to that. But this is nothing compared to the sign of the prophet Jonah in the scriptures, which is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the fact that this eclipse passes through towns called Nineveh doesn't mean anything. It doesn't make it supernatural. It doesn't make it all under the constellation of Cetus the whale. It doesn't make any difference at all. It's a strange coincidence. And the sign of the prophet Jonah is about the death and resurrection of Christ, which completely eclipses, if we pardon the pun, and no pun intended, completely overshadows the idea that this total eclipse is of any great relevance in biblical terms. So, because this is a really short-lived event, where have we got to? Yeah, on page three. So, we need to think about this as well. Going back to the X, this intersection of two lines, we have people saying that the rapture is going to occur as a result of this eclipse. Why? Well, they say because if you look underneath the X, you find an area called Little Egypt, and Little Egypt is associated with the Exodus, and Exodus has an X in it, and therefore we're going to Exodus in the rapture, but also that the X falls over a town called Rapture. The town is actually called Rapture. Well, that's not proof of anything, and the reason it isn't, if you you may not agree, but essentially, and you can check my previous work on this and the work of others, that the pre-tribulation rapture isn't in the Bible. So the fact that the total eclipse passes through a town called Rapture means absolutely nothing at all, nothing whatsoever, because there is no pre-tribulation rapture. But some are saying in some of those videos, this is a sign that after this, very soon after this, the pre-tribulation rapture will occur. And we're reading huge things into this, the eclipse, this entirely natural event which occurs every 18 months and which is no doubt extremely beautiful and declares the glory of God. So if there isn't a pre-tribulation rapture, then making something out of the fact that this passes over a town called Rapture is a waste of time. It doesn't mean anything. Now, then also, people are saying that the eclipse will pass over the New Madrid Fault, which is a fault line that goes across the United States, a geological fault. And along with, I think, with the Yellowstone caldera, there is a view that if these things erupt or shift the United States to have massive geological faults and upheavals and earthquakes and things like that. And so they argue that this must be a sign because it's going over the New Madrid Fault. Well, why? I mean, it is going over the New Madrid Fault, but why is that a sign in and of itself? And then they go further. There are videos which talk about the darkness in, for example, Revelation 8:12, and say that this darkness is going to be on April the 8th. So in Revelation 12, verse 12, we read as follows. Revelation 8, verse 12, we read, "And the fourth angel sounded, and the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and likewise." I suppose a simple interpretation for that would be something like 4 hours at least darkness every day. But these people are saying that this is a fulfillment of that prophecy, and also the prophecy in Matthew 24, verse 29. Matthew 24, verse 29, where we read about the signs of the, and this prophecy comes up in many places in Scripture, but we read here Matthew 24, 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." And they say that this is a fulfillment of this prophecy. Now, this is incredible, because now we're talking about no light from the moon, no light from the sun, and the stars falling from heaven. And this is coming up again and again in Scripture as a sign just before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a very grand claim to say that just because it's in America, this is a fulfillment of those prophecies in Revelation and Matthew, because the maximum duration of the total eclipse is going to be 4 minutes. So it's a huge jump of logic to say a four-minute eclipse is going to become a global darkness permanently before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. See what I mean about these videos being absurd, and yet there's many, many of them, and people are saying this. People are getting excited about this. And then we have another prophecy, which is 3 days of darkness. Now, this is not a Bible prophecy. This is a prophecy that came out of Roman Catholicism, which was given by various of their people, and which apparently is believed by many. You can look it up in Wikipedia, 3 days darkness. And there are those who are arguing in their videos that there's going to be 3 days and three nights of darkness. And presumably it has got something to do with Jonah being in the for 3 days and three nights and Jesus being in the grave. And they tell us that the supernatural darkness will come upon the world. And during that time, the only way that you'll be able to light your home or see anything is if you have beeswax candles, which have been blessed in a particular way, holy beeswax candles. Well, this is nonsense, isn't it? It's not a biblical prophecy. But the thing about it is, there are those who are teaching that and saying that this total eclipse, which lasts 4 minutes in the North America, will come the 3 days and three nights of darkness, and you'll only be able to light your homes with holy beeswax candles. We can dismiss that, can't we? Yeah, there's just so much going on out there, so many great claims. And then there's the argument that something terrible will happen associated with April the 8th. Well, the question is what? I mean, I remember once going to somebody a while back and saying to them, "I believe God's speaking to me about you." And they said, "Oh, yes, what's he saying?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I had to learn the hard way that this is no good. If you don't know what God's saying, then how do you know that God is saying anything?" And the thing about this is that people are saying, well, something terrible may happen because it's a sign. But if terrible, what's the possibility of something terrible happening on April 8th? Very high because of the state of the United States, because of the state of the world. There's a very high possibility, I suppose, of terrorist attacks. And in the United States, we've got these missile attacks upon the U.S. Navy in the Gulf of Aden in the Red Sea at the moment, which are very concerning. And well, I'm not going to say more except for this, that there's a very high probability that something in the next month or two could happen, which is very significant for the United States. But we wouldn't need a total eclipse as a sign to tell us that. We already know that there's a risk of that. But there are those who... Well, looking at previous total eclipses, there are those who are listing previous total eclipses and world events that happened associated with them, and all kinds of crazy things that they would say, "Ah, well, there we are, this was a sign, and that was a sign, this natural event." I'm not saying that God can't use it as a sign. I'm saying that we'll only know afterwards. There's nothing supernatural communicated here about this total eclipse. I'm saying this so we don't fall into the... It's important that we actually understand that we should approach this via the Scriptures and not via this uncontrolled rush to claim this as a supernatural event which is going to change the world in which we live. Everything about it so far is natural. Everything about it so far is explainable. and everything about it so far doesn't have anything to do, as far as I can see, with Bible prophecy. So the question is, well, the next thing is that they would say, they would say that this is not just a sign of the 3 days of darkness. It's not just a sign of the prophet Jonah. It's not just a sign that America is going to be destroyed. It's not just a sign that the rapture is about to happen. And it's not just a sign that you know, the end of the age is near at hand, but it actually signifies the end of the world. So some are even going as far as saying that this total eclipse, which is going to take place in the United States, is actually going to usher in the world, the end of the world, and the return of Jesus Christ. And you see how you've got this chain of confusion, you've got this escalation of claims and all of these things that are being said, and they're ridiculous and no justification, no foundation in fact or anything like that. So let's look at what might happen or what's going on. Now, having said all of those things, we've got the biblical grounds to look at this any different than a natural event. We have no events or other things which will tell us that. And we also have a very, very good and a very clear understanding of the scriptures that are being quoted, that they refer to the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has already happened. So we shouldn't be looking at those as such. Now, there are, however, strange things going on. And one of the things that's been pointed out about the strange things going on is that the states where these which are going to be affected by this total eclipse have called out the National Guard for that event. That means there'll be armed men and women who are guarding the crowds who are there at the event. Now, listen to part of a speech by the governor of Arkansas saying why they called out the National Guard and declared a national emergency effectively as a result of this eclipse. And there are arguments with it. The first thing is crowd control or looking after the crowds so that everybody is safe. That's the official reason given, that so many people will travel to these states to see the eclipse that local resources will be overwhelmed, supermarket shelves will be empty. And they're going as far as to say to people who live in the state, you must get your grab bag ready. You remember the grab bags we used to have so that if there was an emergency, we would just run out the door and flee down the street as fast as we could go. We would have some food and water and a few other things, perhaps a penknife and a torch in there so that we could somehow survive. Well, this is what people are being told. Now, all of this doesn't seem to add up. And this is a personal opinion I'm giving now, but doesn't seem to add up. The second thing is, I suppose there might be a genuine terror threat that multitudes of people meeting in the open air to see this beautiful event, which declares the glory of God, that there is a genuine threat of terror because of what's going on, because of the wars in the Middle East and the wars in the Ukraine. And therefore, these soldiers would be called out to guard the people and to be ready to respond as soon as anything happened. Now, I think that's a possibility, but of course, they're not going to say that. They're not going to say there is a terror threat. They're going to say, we're just here to make sure the crowds are safe. Fair enough. And let's hope nothing like that happens. And then just one other thought, and again, I'm a geologist and or a volcanologist or anything like that, somebody who's interested in volcanoes as such, but it did occur to me with respect to the New Madrid fault line that when the sun and moon line up, gravity is at its greatest, and maybe they're afraid that the New Madrid fault line would be triggered by the increase in gravity produced by the sun and moon being aligned and focused down on the New Madrid fault line. Now, that's just something that passed through my head. I'm not qualified to make such a statement, just to say maybe they know something we don't. Maybe they're afraid of something they're not saying. But it's because there are some anomalies in what's being told, what's being said. So, for example, I think it's Oklahoma, where where they've also brought in nuclear response teams and biological warfare response teams. Now, that seems to go further than just calling out the National Guard. Why have they called those in? Why do they need those for a total eclipse? But again, you'll have to do your own research on that. That's as far as I'm going on that, because I don't know. But now, you see, people everywhere, everybody's getting on the bandwagon and saying, this is a great sign. This is going to lead to all kinds of things, the end of the age, the rapture, and so on and so forth. And jumping on the bandwagon with this goes through seven towns called Nineveh, so that must be significant. And therefore, this must be the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And therefore, that Bible prophecy which Jesus gave must actually be fulfilled in this. Now, what people who are saying this actually don't realize what they're saying, because when they ignore the really big thing that Jesus Christ died and was resurrected, and they focus down on something like this, that there's going to be a total eclipse in the United States of America, they're actually playing the role of those who are seeking after a sign. And Jesus said, a wicked and perverse generation. Now, I'm not saying that these people are wicked and perverse, misguided Christians, I suppose, and others. But the thing is this, they are looking for a sign, and they're finding one when they look for it. Whereas the sign of the prophet Jonah is that Jesus Christ died and was resurrected from the dead. So what am I going to say? Well, all I can say is this, we need a proper Bible exegesis. We need the science which says this is not a supernatural event. We need the science which says this is perfectly natural, even though it's going over the United States and there are other interesting things associated with it. This is perfectly natural. It's not a sign at all. It's a beautiful part of nature which God has created for his own glory. Now, if something significant does happen, which turns out to be a fulfillment of Bible prophecy, then maybe we'd look back and say, well, that was a sign, or it was used as a sign. But at the moment, I can't see that we have any grounds to say that it is a sign of any sort or a fulfillment of Bible prophecy of any sort. So all of these videos, people need to stop panicking. They need to stop running around and saying that this is going to be the end of the world or whatever they're saying. They need to come back to sound logic. First of all, this is a natural event. Secondly, there is nothing in Scripture about a total eclipse in the United States. And perhaps one of the hardest things for some people to accept is that God doesn't say much about the United States in Scripture other than as a nation among the nations. Saying that there's all these situations where people will say, well, maybe this president or that president is the Antichrist. I remember them doing that with George W. Bush. I remember them doing that with Obama. And of course, Obama is still a candidate, many people think. And also I can remember when people thought that Mikhail Gorbachev, the former president of Russia, was the Antichrist because he had this strawberry birthmark on his forehead. And they thought that makes him like the Antichrist, who had a wound in his head and recovered. And so there's always a speculation. But the Antichrist could come from Brunei. He could come from India. Why does he have to come from one country or another? And he is the one who rises up out of the sea in Revelation, which suggests that he comes out of the nations. But my belief is still that it's the Pope of Rome, and it will be the final Pope. Whether that's the current Pope or not, I can't say. I don't know. But it will prove to be the final Pope of Rome, who is the Antichrist of Scripture. Not everybody agrees with that, but that's an opinion which some of us hold. So Mike says, keep our focus on Jesus Christ today. Keep looking at the cross. And so let's just look at the scripture here. And I think, you know, I realize a certain amount of distraction while I'm saying this, but simply you're going to come across Christians who've heard this, who think something terrible is going to happen. Maybe something terrible will happen, but you can't predict that from the information we have. I hope something terrible doesn't happen. But America is long overdue for its judgment from God, as is England. So in Jonah chapter 1, we read there, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And we have this wonderful prayer of Jonah. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And then we have verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And it's as though Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Nobody saw him as far as the men in the ship were concerned. He was a dead man. And then suddenly, like the resurrection, he was found alive again. The fish vomited him out on dry land. And we have the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Going back to Matthew chapter 12, the Lord Jesus tells us that In Matthew chapter 12, the Lord Jesus tells us that, and in verses 39 and 40, but as he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given it to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So, and Jesus was telling us that he would die and be resurrected, the greatest things that ever happened, the most wonderful things that ever happened, that Jesus died and was resurrected. He died for our sins. He gave himself for our sins. He loved us and died in our place. And he was raised from the dead by the power of God. He was laid in the grave, but he was raised from the dead. And the tomb was empty. He was not there. He was risen. He is risen today on the throne of very throne of heaven. Now, Jesus, of course, talked about those who swallow a camel and strain out a gnat. And that was the Pharisees. But if I could talk about those who swallow a gnat and strain out a camel, the really, really, really big thing here is that Jesus Christ died and was raised from the dead. That's the glorious thing. That's the thing that honors God. That's the holy and heavenly thing that Jesus did this. The really, really small thing in comparison is that on the 8th of April, 2024, there will be a total eclipse of the sun passing across America, maximum duration, 4 minutes. And that's a small thing. And those who make a big thing out of this eclipse, at risk of belittling the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ at the expense of something that could be a gnat, they are straining out a camel and swallowing a gnat, if you understand my meaning. That this, compared to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have nothing to say about this eclipse. We have nothing biblical to say about it. We have nothing more to say about it. We have no more information than we have in the scriptures, which says nothing about that eclipse. Yes, there will be signs in the heavens. Yes, there will be darkness. The sun will be darkened and the moon will be darkened before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's nothing to suggest that this eclipse has anything to do with that. So I simply want, thank you, Miriam. Miriam says that's a witty analogy. I simply want to say this, that we must be biblical in our thinking. And I would encourage you to perhaps go and comment on some of those videos, listen to some and comment and simply put this to them, that that's not what the Bible's teaching. We need to start with the scriptures and not read into scriptures because we see on a map a town called Nineveh and we see a line going across it. That we don't interpret the scriptures by the fact that there's an X over a town called Rapture and so on. But we actually expound the scriptures. We should look for the fulfillment of this sign of Jonas, which Jesus spoke about, and that was 3 days and three nights. The Lord Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead, and we should, that's been fulfilled. That is the most wonderful, most glorious thing. And of course, this wasn't enough as a sign. The scribes and the Pharisees probably wanted something like making the sun go back, or I don't know. Jesus did all his miracles. They didn't accept that. They kept asking for a sign when all of these incredible signs have been done by Lord Jesus Christ already. So let's get back to scripture, and let's not interpret scripture by names on a map or by an X, which is marked out by two solar eclipses, one complete solar eclipse and the other annular eclipse. Let's get back to the scripture, and let's ask, what is scripture saying? Verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be in 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. I submit to you, this has got nothing whatsoever to do with the eclipse in America. I can't read that into this verse, and I rest my case. Mike says people are always seeking signs. Yes, they are. And of course, it's spectacular and it's fantastic to seek signs, and it's cool and it's interesting and it tickles our human nature, but we need to get back to the scriptures. As I said, if you think back to what I said about America, we don't need a total eclipse to tell us to preach the gospel to America. We don't need a total eclipse to tell us that that America is under the judgment of God. We don't need a total eclipse to tell us that people need to repent and turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that is in the Bible. We don't need it. In the same way that if one was raised from the dead and went to them, they wouldn't believe if they don't believe Moses and the prophets. Everything we need is here in the scriptures. Everything we need is here in the Bible. And yet people should come back to the Bible. And all of this silly nonsense of putting out these videos saying that all these things, you know, like the darkness where you can't light your house without a special holy beeswax candle. All of this just needs to be binned and put away. And we need to get back to the scriptures. Now, it's possible that as regards this eclipse, it will pass off without incident. Many, many people will see a beautiful eclipse, and it will be something they remember for the rest of their lives. And the answers in Genesis are saying, if you can, go along and see it. It's also very possible that any day, including the 8th of April, something terrible could happen in the world. But that doesn't make it a sign. But we already know the signs of the times. We already know that Jesus is coming back. We already know that the end of the age is upon us. And we don't need a sign to tell us that. We have it all in the scriptures, and we believe it with all our hearts. There will be signs, but I've suggested that this isn't yet proven to be a sign of any sort. Miriam says, I'm well used to people being beguiled by signs and wonders and mirroring my Catholic past. They used to annoy me long ago. It still does. Yeah, Miriam, I'd recommend the book Counterfeit Miracles by B.B. Warfield, which you can probably get off Amazon, and that says a lot about that. But of course, you could tell me an awful lot because you were in the Catholic Church. I was never in the Catholic Church myself. And how many ways in which we can be fooled, so easily fooled, but we have the more sure word of prophecy. In other words, this book, the Bible, to teach us the truth from God. Father, we ask and pray that you would have mercy upon us. Help us to be discerning. Help us to be wise. Father, we thank you for the beautiful nature of total eclipses, which you created and which you sent as a mark of your glory, as all your creation speaks of your glory and declares your glory. But Father, help us to be versed in the scriptures. Help us to be wise and circumspect, not fools in these days. Help us to be ready to preach the gospel. Help us to be ready to call others to repentance. We pray for the United States. We pray for Australia. We pray for England and Ireland, Lord, that your mercy would be found in these countries and many other countries, Lord, that the people of these lands would awake and would repent and would turn and find the salvation which comes from God. Father, I want to pray for those of us who are listening to this, that who are ill, perhaps also have cancer, that you would have mercy upon them as well, Father, that you would comfort them, strengthen them, and be near to them, and help them, and encourage them, and lift them up, and be with them throughout all of their trials and difficulties, and the rest of us in all of our trials and difficulties. And so, Father, in these days, we pray that you strengthen and raise up evangelists, that the business of the church, Father, would be to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. All of our business here below would be to cry, behold, behold the Lamb. And we do look for his coming, Lord, and we do long for his return, and we do believe that he will be revealed on the clouds of heaven very soon. But help us to occupy till he comes. Have mercy upon us, forgive us for our sins, and cleanse us in Jesus' blood. We ask and pray in his precious name. Amen. So, all of those who put out these silly videos talking about what's going to happen on April the 8th, they'd be much better off putting out videos in which they preach the gospel, call for repentance, and assure people of their salvation if they turn to Jesus Christ. Lan John, thank you particularly because you're in the United States, and I think I'm right in saying that this eclipse is going to pass through Texas. I'm not sure, Lan, your country, your state, your nation, the Lord have mercy upon you and have mercy upon all of our. Pray for Canada as well, that you'd have mercy upon Canada and her church. And even now, Father, that there would be a counterculture and a preaching of the gospel that would turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the fathers to the children, that there would be a return to the Lord Jesus Christ in Canada for the salvation of souls and the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this I ask and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Of course, there are other countries I could have mentioned too and prayed for, but we're called to be constantly in prayer, aren't we? And always bringing these things before the Lord. The time is so short. I'm just struck by how very, very short the time is. Anyway, we've come. Lan asks, are you now done with the divorce series? No, I still have to speak on divorce and remarriage, Lan, and God willing, I'll do that on Monday. I can't delay it any longer. I delayed it because I wanted more light. I wanted more time to study and think about it. I don't think I'm a very capable person to speak on it, but I do need to speak on that. And for those of you who are interested. My position is yes. In many cases, it's quite legitimate to remarry after divorce, and I'm not one of those who says that divorce after remarriage is impossible and should never happen. Ian says, prayers too for the Israeli hostages and persecuted Christians. Father, we pray for those hostages who are in Gaza or wherever they are now. We pray, Father, that they would be found and that they would be safe and well. And we pray that you bless the land of Israel and you bless the city of Jerusalem. We pray, Father, that you'd have mercy upon the Jewish people. And we long for that day when they look upon him whom they have pierced and mourn, when the spirit of grace and supplication is poured upon them. We pray that Christians who are preaching the gospel in Israel will be given a free hand to preach Christ and to lift up his name. And we pray that many Jewish people and Arab people, Lord, would find the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, we pray for Islam in our nations, Lord, that it would be confronted with the claims of the gospel, and that those claims of the gospel would be those mighty weapons, spiritual weapons, which are able to pull down the spiritual strongholds and all the high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray that you would have mercy upon the nations in these days, but oh, may we be active and may we serve you, Lord. May you use us for your glory, that we serve and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for mentioning that, Ian. So, yes, indeed, make melody. So this is the questions, comments, criticisms section, and please, I just couldn't find, as I said, if you haven't heard of this, you're going to hear about this, and if you haven't seen these videos, they're going to come up, and it's going to get more and more, and it's going to become, it'll be like the Asbury Revival, or it'll be like, well, I remember in 2012, many of us were foolish, and I have to say, it happened to me, were foolishly led astray by the idea that that the Olympic Stadium was going to be destroyed, because there's lots of evidence for that. And it just taught me that if you look for the evidence, you'll find it. Yes, there are loads of streets in London that are named after occult principles and occult history and things like that. So what? We have to stick unswervingly to the scriptures. There are signs that will happen which are either supernatural and are shown to be signs straight away, or which may turn out to be signs afterwards, after the event. But this is something that's perfectly natural that's going on. So has anybody come across these videos, or somebody saying that on April the 8th the world is going to end? I don't know. Miriam, thank you for that comment about appreciating this. I want us all to be well grounded. I want us to have rational arguments to say, well, look, let's hold back. Don't go around shouting, don't panic, like Corporal Jones in Dad's Army. And just hold back and say, look, is this rational? What evidence? At the end of the day, there just doesn't seem to be any evidence that this is more than just a total eclipse, even if it's going across America, even if it's going across a town called Rapture. I mean, so what? We have to be wise. We have to not be easily led astray and easily led into things. Our understanding of the truth isn't going to be determined by things that are going on, but by what Scripture says. And we may take that to something. I really do believe that what's going on in Israel and what's going on in Russia might well turn out to be the fulfillment of Bible with that, and say, well, we'll have to wait and see. Ian says, or Chicken Little, maybe, but thank you for mentioning that, Ian. And that's what it's like. It's absurd. You know, Chicken Little thought that the sky was falling and persuaded everybody else that the sky was falling. Now, maybe on April the 8th, the sky will fall, but at the moment, I can't see any evidence that it will. Miriam says, it comes up in chat groups. A lot of people are willing a rapture to happen and have chosen this eclipse and its manifestation. Thank you, Miriam. I'm glad I'm not the only one who's heard of this. Yes, so we can stand up and we can say, well, where's your evidence? Where's the evidence for this? And they'll say, oh, well, there's an X over the town, rapture. You say, well, compare that to the power, authority, beauty, and instruction of Scripture, and that's just poverty-stricken. As I said, an X, they're saying the X means the end of America, but the X could just as well mean that the sign of the cross, and therefore America's going to be converted. It's entirely arbitrary what people are saying. Well, Melody says that you saw a bit of such a video today. I thought I should. There's dozens and dozens and dozens of these videos came up on my feed, and I probably listened or watched about six of them and wrote down all the things people were saying. So you got that in this talk. But the thing about it is this: dozens and dozens and dozens of them, and it seems that every Christian channel is jumping on the bandwagon. And what, apart from the answers in Genesis and perhaps one or two others that were saying, you know, this is just a natural event, enjoy it for what it is. Everybody else seemed to be jumping on the bandwagon, and there would just be more and more claims, and they were getting wilder and wilder. This is a fulfillment of prophecy. Everybody's had dreams about this. People have prophesied about this, and X, Y, and Z are going to happen. And as it gets nearer to April the 18th, that would lead to panic. It would lead to we remember how we had Y2K, the possible computer virus that was going to wipe the world out in the year 2000. It didn't happen, but lots of people panicked about that. And other things since, there was in 2012, there was the prophecy of the Mayan prophecy of the end of the world, and lots of people panicked about that. Probably just bought a few extra tins of baked beans to make sure. But and of course, if you talk about the Mayan prophecy in 2012, it had nothing to do with Bible prophecy whatsoever. It's entirely fake, entirely false as far as the scriptures are concerned. What happens when everybody gets in a panic and everybody expects to be raptured and it doesn't happen? They've all said it's a sign, and all the prophets have said it's a sign, and everybody's had dreams about it, and every Christian channel has said it, and then nothing happens. How foolish the church looks, how foolish the Lord Jesus Christ looks when his people behave in that way. If you're going to say that April the 8th is a sign from God, give me some evidence. Give me some proof. If the moon becomes blood and the sun doesn't give its light, then okay, that's proof. But this is not the same. This is a total eclipse. This is going to last maximum 4 minutes and 2.5 minutes, I'm told, in most places. And it's going to be a very beautiful event. So people will travel to see it. And why wouldn't they? Ian, thank you. Ian says, Jesus strongly warned us about this sort of behavior. And what I think, Ian, is that it's an example of how poorly taught so many Christians are, that rather than going straight to scripture and reading out of scripture, they go straight to events and then read into scripture. And they don't know they're doing it. And as I say, you get this vicious circle, this chain of confusion that builds up snowballs and snowballing at the moment. And once again, it'll make Christianity look foolish. Again, I just want to say, who remembers the Asbury revival from last year? If it was a true revival, you had never forgotten it. It wasn't a true revival. It was something else, but it wasn't a true revival of religion. It hasn't stood the test of time. It didn't stand the test of scripture at the time either, but there we are. Miriam. Agreeing with Ian, it distracts us from the real message, repent and believe. Absolutely. We should be out there preaching. We shouldn't be waiting for a total eclipse to say, well, we should get off our chairs and go and preach the gospel to people. We should have been doing it already. If we're not, we need to do that anyway. And we don't need an eclipse to tell us that. We've got the Bible to tell us that. The wicked and perverse generation seeks a sign. The rest of us read the Bible and look for what scripture says. Well, Miriam, I think that's what people are doing. And as I say, they're jumping on a bandwagon. They're showing how poorly taught they are. And I think since there is, it was less than a month to go, but since there's a bit of time to go, I think we'll see what happens. Maybe I'm wrong, but we'll see outrageous claims about what's going to happen coming perhaps from the charismatic camp before April the 8th. We'll have to wait and see. But even if something terrible does happen on April the 8th, We're totally entitled to say, until it happens, this is not a sign from God. Absolutely not the case. So good night, Ian and Kathy, and thank you for joining us. And thank you for your comments, which have been an encouragement and a help to this broadcast. Thank you. So I'm going to wrap the broadcast up at this stage as well, slightly earlier than usual. But if you come across people, please feel free to recommend them to view this video and challenge what's being said. I'd love to spar with somebody who wants to challenge this and see if we can, in a friendly and gracious manner, and just see what comes out of it. But essentially, let's get back to the Bible and let's get back to the Lord Jesus, and let's also be very, very, very certain that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ eclipse all of these other things. because that's the greatest things that ever happened in history. Amen. Well, I'll turn the camera off. Thank you again for being with us. The Lord be with each one of us. I'm going to turn the camera off. I'll leave it running for a minute so people can give their greetings. But thank you. And by God willing, the next live broadcast will be next Monday at 9 p.m. And I should be speaking on that final broadcast on the subject of divorce and remarriage. But thank you for being with us this evening. God be with you. Amen.